Please turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8, and then we'll also be reading Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Everybody say that with me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul, in his writing to the church in Corinth, his first letter was a letter of deep correction, reproof, a lot of sin going on in the church, things that should not have been happening, gluttony, drunkenness, revelry, lasciviousness, just immorality, things going on in this very huge, very wealthy church. And he got a hold of it and wrote a letter. The second letter here that he wrote to them, he is saying how fond he is of their response to his first letter, how they brought it back around. And what he did in this verse here is he sandwiches something that is really, really beautiful. He puts a verse there, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In between two statements, one stating that while we're here on this earth, we're absent from the Lord. The other stating we'd rather be present with the Lord. We'd rather be absent from this body, and we'd rather be present with the Lord. But in between those things, he is saying, while we're here, we need to walk by faith and not by what we see. Now in Ephesians in chapter 3 in verse 20, out of the New Living Testament this morning, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I'll read that out of the New King James now. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You see, what we have to understand that there is a power that's in us that gives us victory every day of our life, that gives us the ability to be the overcomer that the Bible says that we are. To be that conqueror, and actually the more than a conqueror that the Bible says that we are. To be triumphant every day of our life. Not just the days that we choose to feel good about it, but every day of our life to be triumphant. Now, just a rhetorical question. I'm sure that if I asked you this question, you'd answer yes. There are days that when you go into life, into that day, you're not very satisfied. Things are a struggle. Things are difficult. Things are not exactly the way you foresaw them or what you hoped them to be. Maybe you got a phone call that threw your day upside down and all around. Maybe somebody said something to you that was not kind or unwarranted or flat none of their business. But the words broke through and it changed your whole atmosphere of that day. It changed how you thought and how you pursued your day. But we have to understand the importance to speak on this subject of faith because of the necessity that we get faith active in our life. Faith is just not a word. It needs to be active in your life every day. You simply need to believe God for His promises in your life. Having an active faith, a faith that is resident at all times to react to every situation. Faith is an action word. It's not an inactive word. It's not a word that's stagnant in its position in your life. It's always stirring. The Bible even says that Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gifts that are in you. In other words, stir it up. Remember what God has given you. Remember what God has processed in your life through His Word. Remember the promises that God has given you. As human beings, we forget so easily the Word that was given into our life. And you say, well, it's awful difficult sometimes, Pastor, to always remember those words that were given to me or through prayer or through someone that I know that was very deeply involved with prayer and the Word, and they spoke into my life, and that day I felt so good. But after that, people came and started to sow into my life that was negative and say that this could never happen to you. And those things start to bend or form your personality and character not to move in an act of faith. Almost to sit down and just wait for everything to go away. Almost as though it's a give-up moment in your life. But faith is lively and brings life to that which is dead. Believe me, if you look at Ezekiel, that was faith that Ezekiel was able to speak to the Lord and say, only thou knowest. And out of the graveyard came an army of soldiers to go back into battle that were dead. Nothing left. No life. Came out alive, moving and strengthened in what God would have for them to do. We have to understand that faith is very, very much so. It's full of life. It's not something that's flat line. It's got a beat to it. It shows life every day that as we walk with God, we walk in faith. If you look at this world and what you see right now, you may have a problem with your faith if that's what you're going to make your decisions on. We're all looking at what's going on right now over in the country of Syria and watch this nation try to make a decision on whether to again penetrate into another country and go into war. And America is up at arms within herself trying to say what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But we have to understand in our life as Christians that we have to look at the Word of God and what God wants us to do every day in our life as a family. And what God wants us to do. When we look at the news and our own local news and our own areas of our own cities and our own towns, we see things going on and we scratch our head. Is there any good news available? Is there anything going on? The heinousness of sin, the degradation of things that are going on in our communities, and we sit back and we wonder, is there even a God? You see, if you go by what you see, you can get very depressed and very lowly and very discouraged. But if you pick up the Word of God and you read it and you get it in your spirit and you sing the Word of God, you pray the Word of God, you live the Word of God, you confess the Word of God, your faith begins to grow and you begin to be thankful that you know Jesus Christ through the shed blood, through the confession of your mouth that He is the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. And that when He knocked on your heart's door, you invited Him in to come and to sup with you and to enjoy His presence. And He was so cool about His relationship with you. He said, when I leave, I'm going to leave the Holy Ghost with you, who's going to walk along your side, who's going to testify of me. He's going to show you things to come before they even get there. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Glory. That's the one that we have faith in. That's the one that says, no matter what it looks like, look unto me. Look to the hills, where cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Glory. And he is there with us at all times. You see, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the Bible says everyone that comes into the kingdom is given a measure of faith. Romans 10 and 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 12, 3. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Everybody's got faith. Everybody's got a measure of faith. And you need to exercise that faith to strengthen it. You know, you need to bring it up from a thimble to a wheelbarrow full. You need to bring it up from a wheelbarrow full to a dump truck load full. You need to bring it up from a dump truck load to a 40-foot semi load full. You just need the whole, on the whole trucking company, full of God's faith in your life, and watch the miraculous start to come and the things come by. If you're here today and you're discouraged, do me a favor. Take your discouragement, tell it to go, and you stand up by faith and say, I am encouraged that I am saved. I am encouraged that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I am encouraged that I know that I know that I know that there's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. That I know how he sees me. He sees me holy. I know that what he does in my life is alive and powerful. And I know that who I am in God is who I am in God. And no man can take that from me, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I can move in faith, I can walk in faith, and I know that my God is a revealing God, and he will reveal to me in my innermost being the faith that I need to have to overcome and accomplish everything that is set before me. Now, I know I'm preaching a whole lot better than your silence, but I'm going to let you know something right now, that there's a God in heaven who does care about you, who does want you to know that faith needs to be active in your life. And faith needs to be expelled out, spoken out, trusting and believing. Have you ever got the phone calls from people you wish they hadn't called? Have you ever received the text? You know, I love texting. I really do. I will be honest with you. I do not like group texting. You know it all. I like single one-on-one texting. Group texting, I just never know what I should put. But you know, texting, sometimes I'll get texts from people and I'm thinking, where is your faith? Texting is something that, you know, I look at and I say, where is the revealing power of God in that? Amen. We should text each other saying, God's going to do it. I believe I'm going to be healed. I believe God's going to take care of this difficulty because it's greater than I am, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know that my God reigns forever and ever and ever. He's the one true God. He created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. He took man from dust. He took woman from the side of man. He promised a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory, and he showed up on this earth. He healed the sick. He's prospered the poor. He's made rich the poor. He's promised us a heaven forevermore. He says that we have an entrance into glory through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door, and we have something that we can look forward to. Do you know that Jesus is up there right now preparing a place for you and I? Praise God. And you want to know what gets the devil mad? Is when you can sit there and confess all that, no matter what you're going through. You say, preacher, you don't know what kind of week I have. No, I don't. But I want you to know I've been praying for you all week. while your little head is on that soft, comfortable, fluffy feather pillow, I'm up late at night speaking your name before the God of glory, asking him to bless your family, bless your children. My God, I'm praying for Titus, and I've never even met him yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want you to know something, that we have to continue to seek the face of God and continue to pray. I even pray for mine enemies. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray good for my enemies. I pray, oh, God, bless them. Oh, God, prosper them. Oh, God, just manifest yourself in their life. You say, why do you do that? Well, because the Bible says it's really easy to pray for those that love you. How about praying for those that may not love you? Pray for thine enemies. Build your faith through prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that God is so real. Not surreal, so real. That he's alive and he's in this house this morning. Thankful that he's been praised. Thankful that he has had worship come into his ears from a church of people that love him and want to see him move in their life. I like what it says in Hebrews 4:12 and in the Amplified Version. The Word of God is living and active. And for the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. I want you to realize today that there's an activity going on in your life by the Word of God. There is a operative in your life operating in you. Stirring up gifts, reminding you of who God is, and bringing that energy into your life, and wanting you to be effective in your Christianity. You know, you know, the church needs to guard against witchcraft. And some of the stuff that Christians come up with today is simply witchcraft. And that is another sermon I'll preach one day. But the church needs to guard against all this stuff that seems to be so joyful and happy, and it's not even in the Word. It's just fleshly and makes you feel good. But it's the Holy Ghost in you, praise God, that's powerful and alive and meaningful and wants something to be done. I'll say this. I do believe with all my heart that the church lacks faith today because the church spends more time being judgmental than it does being encouraging, being believing God, but yet they take the place of God and judge things. Amen. Instead of just trusting God and having hope in God and believing everything that God says that he is. And by the way, he is what he says. And I want you to know that his name is high above every name. And every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow in heaven, under the earth, and on earth at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the one that I'm preaching to you about today is Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. He's the high priest and the apostle of our calling. Amen. He is the anchor of our soul. Praise God. He is the shelter in the midst of a storm. He's the rock of our foundation. He's the path which where we walk on. He is the King of glory. He is the Almighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the blood that was dipped on the wings of the dove and led outside the camp. He is the sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the earth. And when you were yet not even born, he knew your name. Hallelujah. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, taking it right to that place between life and death. That breath of life, slicing, so beautiful. A good chef can take a very sharp knife and take paper-thin slices of onion off to to where you could actually see through them. This is what we're talking about. God's word goes so thin into you. He gets past that look of, I'm here, but I'm not really here look. He gets past that look of discouragement. He gets past the look of, I may look happy, but inside I am unhappy. That look of, if everybody knows how I really feel, they're probably going to run from me. He knows exactly your heart. He knows exactly what's going on. He's in your soul and the immortal spirit of your life and the joints and the marrow of the deepest part of our nature. God goes and his word penetrates and his word adjusts and his word heals and it forms, it reformats, it brings us to a place of life, a place of joy, a place of hope, a place of trust, a place for the miraculous to happen, a place of creativity, a place of artistry, a place where he can do his work in us, through us, and around us, because we have a living faith in the one true living God. Amen. Amen. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Work in you, it does all the time. All the time. God's, when you think he's not working in you, he's working in you. When you think that God doesn't know anything that's going on, he knew it was going on before you knew it was going on. And he's on it. That's the beauty of God. That's the beauty of him always there, even before we get there. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they were all worried about tomorrow. I said, don't worry, God's just waiting for you to get there. He said, wow, thank you. I needed to hear that. I said, I know you did. Because the road you were going down tomorrow wasn't coming. But God is waiting for you on Monday morning. God was waiting for you this morning when you woke up. And I know how people are when they wake up. Some people wake up and go, oh, thank God it's Sunday. Other people go, oh, it's Sunday. You know, I understand, and everything's sandwiched in between. I understand waking up so tired you wish, could I just sleep another 5 minutes? Can I put the snooze on? Maybe even some people say they should have made snooze longer than 9 minutes. You know, I often wondered why they made snooze 9 minutes. Why didn't they make it 12? But the point being is that God is waiting for you to wake up into your day. You see, we process life each day and come to conclusions before we even enter into the norm, whatever that may be, of our day. We process as soon as we wake up. The enemy loves to meet you when your eyes open. Loves to just speak into your life the troubles of the hour. Loves to get a hold of what you're about to do before you go. But let me tell you something. We have to learn to get out of bed in the morning in faith. We have to walk in faith. We have to trust God. We have to have our faith in God. Amen. And God will make sure things come together in your life. You see, many times we don't walk in faith, but our emotions and our conclusions are determined on what we see and what we hear. This could never come about. This is what this person told me. I can't believe this could ever happen. For what I see, this isn't going to work. We draw conclusions on how the enemy speaks into your mind and how he declares into your spirit and how he speaks these things that are full of defeat, full of negativity, and full of the things that are not there for us to not be able to grasp a hold of. But God says if you'll just listen to his word, if you'll just pray, If you just go ahead and speak His word and say, before you get out of bed, today's a great day, Lord, because you're going to walk with me in it. We're going to walk through this day together, hand in hand. Do you know that the Bible says that He never leaves you nor forsakes you? Do you know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Do you know that when Moses asked Him what His name was, He simply said, tell them that I am that I am? Praise God, hallelujah to the Lamb. Just saying that name gives me Holy Ghost bumps. Praise God, knowing that to honor to speak the word of the Lord and to know that His word will penetrate into the hearts of people and change their life. It takes faith to walk with God. The conclusions actually determine our level of faith and our faith walk every day. Our conclusions that we make before we start our day determines our level of faith that day and our faith walk. We walk as though we are leasing our faith. In other words, we're borrowing somebody else's faith. We're leasing it from somebody else. We walk as though we don't have the ownership. We walk as though that we are impoverished renters with no rights in our faith. Let me tell you, you have a right to pray. You have a right to communicate with God. You have a right to sing a song of praise. You have a right to sing a song of victory. You have a right to read God's word. You have a right to be called a child of the kingdom of God. Amen. If the blood of Jesus has washed your sins away, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. You have a right to take hold of what God has promised you. You don't have to be impoverished in your activity of faith. You should be rich in faith. You don't have to live by somebody else's faith. You have your own measure of faith. And I want you to realize you should put your faith in God. Amen. We need to go and move forward and realize. But the devil, he wants you to feel like you don't have any faith. You don't have any say-so in your life. Let me say this to you. You can confess the word of God. You can defeat the enemy by speaking Jesus' name. The demons flee at the name of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't know. I say it and he's still there. Keep saying it. Praise God. Stand up and you say, well, I don't know. Open the word of God and begin to quote what God's word says about you. Go to Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 121. Go to Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 2. Go to Psalm 3. Oh, by the way, just read the whole book. Praise God. And you'll find out what the Bible has to say about you is good. Amen. We should walk as though we own our faith. Man, I see people get new cars. I see people get new clothes. You ever see somebody with a new set of clothes on? Man, it's like they're wearing it outside their house. They're walking out in front of their house, wanting their neighbors to see it. You know, they're all over it, man. You know, somebody gets a new pair of shoes. They kind of walk in. And, you know, they don't walk in like normal. They walk in with their feet way out, you know. And when everybody see their new shoes, you know, or they get a new car and they don't park it in their normal spot. They park it where everybody can see it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when we have an ownership, we want to show it off. Amen. Somebody gets a new guitar, boy, they just want to play it. Amen. Get a new hat, you want to wear it. You get a new do, you want to show it. You get new jewelry, you want to flaunt it. You want to bling it. You want to do all you possibly can, but you want everybody to know you own it. Don't be like those Hollywood movie stars that walk down that red carpet. They may be walking with $1 million of diamonds on and a $400,000 dress, but they don't own it. They may act like they own it, but let me tell you, when the cameras go off and the day ends, they've got to return it. You see, you and I've got a faith that you can't put an amount on, praise God. That faith, we wear it. We put on Jesus every day. We put on the righteousness of Christ every day. We put on the armor of God. We pick up the shield of faith, and it shall stop every fiery missile of the devil. And when that missile hits your shield of faith, praise God, it will not penetrate it. You just pray against it and keep moving forward in it. Walk as though you own it. You see, looking at the negative will blind you to the positive. It'll blind you when you're looking at negative things all the time. It'll blind you getting negative phone calls from people that love to gossip. Love to say things that are not their proper place to say. I love that saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. But you see, faith is a positive and not a negative. It's not a negative faith. It's a positive faith. It's a faith that says, I can make it, not I cannot make it. I can make it. I can get through this. I will make it, secondly, not I will not make it. In other words, not only am I going to make it, I will make it. I will get over this mountain. I will get across this chasm. I will be able to cross that River Jordan. I will be able to cross that ocean. I will be able to walk down that path, even though it seems long and narrow. I will make it. I am going to make it. Not, I may make it. You ever hear people say, how you doing? I say, well, I'm doing okay, I hope. Yeah. Are you going to ever get there? Well, God helps. You're not owning faith. You're just kind of just saying stuff out there that means that there's no power in it. When someone says, how are you going to make it? You say, oh yeah, I'm going to make it. You hang on, I'll pull you through with me if need be. How you feeling today? I woke up not feeling too well, but I'm believing God's going to heal me. Praise God. I saw someone's testimony the other day. They said, I don't know how I did it. I paid all my bills and I got some money left. I said, I know. I know how you did it. God did it. I've never seen God not do it. Amen. God always takes care of you. He always blesses you. He always surrounds you with his love. He always makes sure there's an angel there that's larger than the devil attacking you. Praise God. He always heals your body. Amen. It's my destiny to see God. Not the statement, I don't have a destiny in him like others do. Everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a destiny to see God. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Wow. He's thinking about you. When you're thinking about yourself in a way you shouldn't, he's thinking about you in a way that you should. You've got a destiny. You have a purpose. You say, preacher, I don't really see it. You need to believe it. If you're looking to see it, you'll probably never get there. But if you'll just believe it, I like what my wife said. The first full circle that she described to everybody today, the pain that she went through. The willingness to follow what God wanted her to do. The willingness to follow me as her husband and as her pastor to lead her into different areas of ministry. The pain and the things that she went through. But then all of a sudden she gets brought back to a place to where she asked God to do. Wow. Maybe you're on a journey right now. I'll tell you right now, you're on your way back to where God has you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? I know I'm still preaching better than what your silence is saying. I know that, so praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Faith is the bridge to the possible. Faith is the bridge to the possible. And the Holy Ghost is the one who walks you across that bridge. Because sometimes on that bridge, you're wondering, if I take another step, is this bridge going to be able to hold me and keep me? And the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and says, keep on moving forward. I'm your counselor. I'm your paracletos. I'm the one that walks along your side. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. I like what happened with Joshua when he walked into the promised land. He entered it by the promise. Joshua 1 and 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. In other words, this promise is transferred. Moses laid his hands on you. Moses put his wisdom in you that I gave Moses. I have confirmed your calling to the whole of Israel. And let me bring it home. There are people today, by the sound of my voice or digitally hearing this, that have wondered about your calling and wondered about it. Let me tell you something. God has confirmed your calling. Begin to walk, and where you walk, you shall own it. Praise God. Because God said that he would give it to you already. It's waiting for you to take ownership. It's waiting for you to take hold. It's yours. You own it. You don't have to lease it. You don't have to sign a contract. You don't have to rent it. You don't have to put a down payment on, because the payment was paid at Calvary's cross. Praise God. The gifts and callings are without repentance. God has placed something in your life, and he has given you a life, and that life more abundantly. Let me shout hallelujah! Joshua 1 and 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Ha. Just say to that devil, get out of my way. I'm coming through. Nothing's going to stop me. Get out of my way in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Bye-bye in Jesus' name. Back off, devil, in Jesus' name. Just keep on saying, get out of my way. Keep walking forward. He just keeps backing up. He doesn't step forward until you back up. You see, if you keep moving forward, he keeps backing up, because you're full of the Holy Ghost. You're full of faith. And faith, he cannot defeat faith. He tried to defeat Jesus. Jesus answered him back, it is written, it is written, it is written. He tried to defeat him in Jesus' weakest moment. When you don't eat for 40 days, honey, I'm telling you right now, you're weak. He just kept on confessing it, kept on saying it, and he just kept on saying, it is written, it is written. And the devil comes to you at your home, just if you have to, and I've done it. I've broken out the Bible and started reading it out loud in the house. I've broken out the Bible, started reading it outside, walking down the road. I have broken out the Bible and read this book out loud to defeat the enemy, who will try to overcome you by his negativity and by his lies. He wants you to give up, give in, and give out. He wants you today, actually, to throw in the towel. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to say, you know what, nothing's happening. But let me tell you something, it is happening. God is doing things right now that you cannot see, but you have to have faith to believe he's doing it. God is preparing a place for people in this house, and he's getting them ready to come. Oh, I don't see that happening. You need to stop looking at what you see and start looking at what God has said. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
My God, how can you put a number on what God's going to do? I've heard people say 200, 200, 200. My Lord, don't put a number on what God can do. God can take that number and explode it to a number you can't even count. The innumerable number. Like the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. I love what he said to Abraham. He said, I am thy exceeding great reward. It's not your promise that's your reward. It's your faith in God. And knowing God is your exceeding great reward. Amen. Caleb, Joshua, Numbers 13. They get sent on a reconnaissance mission with 10 other of the tribal leaders to go into a land that God said, I am giving it to you. I want you to know that. God did not say, I might give this to you. He didn't say, if you really say please, I'll think about it. He said, here's the land. Go in and look at it. I am giving you this land. And they walk in. They come back. 10 of them are like, O-M-G. You have got to be kidding me. The Anakinites are there. There's giants all over. We are like grasshoppers to these giants. Caleb stands up with Joshua and says, you know what? They may say something, but I'm going to tell you, we are more than able to take this land, praise God. Because the negative 10 beat out the positive 2 for 38 years, because they'd already been wandering for a few years. 38 years they walk in the desert till all the negativity died out. Then they get to that promised land and they walk in. And Caleb and Joshua knew what God could do. The others only went by what they saw and what they could do. What's your decision today in your life, in your walking with God? Do you see what you can do, or do you believe what God can do, will do, because he has promised you that he would? You don't have to answer this question, but do you have a promise? I tell you, I've got a promise. I've got a promise that God will do it as he said he would do it. And the devil can't get in the way, praise God, because God is God. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 20 now in the Amplified Version. Now to him who, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us. It's God's power that brings this faith. It's God's power that brings victory. It's God's power in our life that takes us to that place of triumph in Christ Jesus. Is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, far above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. God is able to take it further. To take it to a place to where you are going to go, whoa. Wow. I only asked for that and I got this. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Forevermore. Philippians 4 and 13. Because of God's power residing in us to carry out his purpose, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. But, you know, God just doesn't come and give to you. You've got to give in. You've got to have faith in. You've got to walk in your faith like you own it. You've got to walk like this is something that I know that it is. And I want everybody to know that there is a faith that will conquer every sickness, faith that will conquer death, faith that will conquer poverty, faith that will conquer things that cannot be conquered by men. Faith will carry me through to the other side. Praise God.
Faith activates, motivates, and initiates everything in your life. It activates, motivates, and initiates everything in your life. Praise God. You can take it to the highest mountain, and he can do even better. You can take it anywhere you want. When you pray, believe. I firmly believe, and I know this being a person of prayer that I've been for 38, 39 years now, that let me tell you something. People pray, but they really don't believe. When I pray, I believe. I believe for healing. I believe for prosperity. I believe for restoration. I believe for things to be as God wanted them to be in your life. I believe for the depths and the riches of your children to be walking with a King of glory and to be saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, shouting victory, running the aisles, jumping pews, man, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with fire and knowing that there is a King of kings and a Lord of glory that will take them through the storm, take them through every trouble, and he will always be there to speak peace. Amen. Amen.
When you get a word, listen to these next few words. When you get a word, test it, then invest it.
People get words all the time. Well, God spoke this. Prophet spoke this into my life. Well, let me tell you something. You better test it. Oh, yeah. Test it. I've had so many prophets speak into my life. I test every one of them. If it's not any good, I just don't invest it. If it's good, I invest it. Well, don't you say something to the prophet? Why? God will deal with them at the end. I'm not worried about it. Read the Bible. I'll tell you what the Bible says what he does with false prophets. I don't want to mess with that. Test it. If it's a good word, invest it. If it's not a good word, don't digest it. Just leave it alone and move forward. Praise God. Because you know, some of you have had words given to you, and then somebody came along and said, don't do that. Here's the sad note. You believe the don't do that person instead of the word that was given you to do it. Oh my God, I'm getting excited. I may preach in a minute. I want you to know that God is really wanting to do something in your life that's powerful, alive, penetrating, and will overcome every obstacle before you, and hundreds of thousands of people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through generation after generation after generation because of your obedience.
When you have hope, you are not hopeless.
I had a guy tell me yesterday I was about to preach, and he goes, take just a minute, okay? I looked at him and I said, yeah, right. So when I was through preaching, I looked at him and I said, that was my minute. Why? Because I'm preaching life and faith into hopeless, degenerate people who have no idea where their next meal's coming from, where they're going to lay their head, or where they're going to get their next drug. And I'm reaching into hell, asking someone to grab a hold of my arms as I pull them out into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Never give up.
Never give up. When you get a dream, envision it. See it. Believe it. Trust in it. Because you know what? God gives you dreams. Let me close with just a few words today. I hope that I've helped you. I hope that somehow today you latch on to this word called faith and make it a lifestyle. A faith that is truly real and alive and very active. Faith is an extremely important characteristic in our Christian life. It is particularly an interwoven characteristic of the church. It is the foundation of the opening verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God. You simply got to have faith in that verse. God created the heavens and the earth. To walk in faith means that you accept faith as described, defined, and decorated on the pages of the Bible. Every page is a testimony of faith and trust in God Almighty and His promises. He is the artist of faith and has drawn on the canvas of your heart His promises. God's the artist. The picture that I'm drawing here, He drew in my heart to give to you. I can't come up with this stuff on my own. Praise God. I pray and fast all week to give this 1:45 to an hour message. My wife will tell you, I never eat. I'm always fasting. Everybody else is eating and I've got to wait till later to eat. But you know what? I'm always praying and everybody else is doing it. I'm telling you, my wife's praying too, by the way. And my wife is fasting, by the way. But I want you to know something, that we have to believe and pray and fast to get out of everything out of the way so God can take out the pen of glory and ascribe in your heart a message that'll change lives. Ascribe in your heart a dream that you can dream and see fulfilled. Ascribe in your heart words of a promise that you can read from the very scripture of your heart where God has promised you a miracle in your life and He will do it. And when someone says to you, you should not say, oh, yes, I should. Yes. Yeah. Walk this walk of faith like you own it, not plagiarizing it. Faith is yours, measured out to you by the Lord God. Walk with steps of belief and hope. Own what God has promised you and don't give it away to the enemy or negative influences. Speak out God's word and defeat the lies of failure and fear. Jesus said this. After he told a fig tree to die. And that fig tree wasn't even in season. But Jesus said, he didn't give me a fig, you're gone. He went on to say, because Peter said, what's going on here? Jesus said this in Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And I just encourage you to have faith.